Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the AEW Rampage Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of the Rampage, baby. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review AEW Rampage, but also AEW Dynamite, Raw, SmackDown, NXT 2.0, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete with a very good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick to look ahead to... Hey, I just met you. Rampage, baby. I should point out as well that we are recording this due to a weird way that our summer holidays work here at What Culture. We're recording this on Thursday, so when TK inevitably announces, actually, Punk Mox for the titles tonight, we didn't know in advance, so we've recorded this on Thursday, but hopefully that will not be the case.
I doubt it. I reckon we would have got a spoiler indication.
Yes, you would sense that. But there is title matches to look forward to tonight. Let's dive straight into it, Sidge. Swerve and our Glory taking on Private Party.
Really quite looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Not in a sort of a must-see way or expecting a five-star classic or anything like that. Just to get a minor gripe out of the way, these tag team titles do not feel remotely important. That is as a result of there being far too many titles altogether. But in terms of the individual booking, we've seen what? Them put Smart Mark Sterling's face into a cake, then they've set up a Rampage defense with like a pretty minimal 30-second pre-tape. Look, they had a fun match on Rampage the other week, but it feels like they're not that important. And I feel like this trend's going to continue. It's going to be more like a Jurassic Express adjacent reign where the bulk of the stuff happens on Rampage and the matches will be fun without being absolutely spectacular. And, you know, when I wake up on Saturday morning and watch this, I expect to have a good time. Mm-hmm. But let's just say I'm not going to spend Friday, like, in awe of the imminent prospect and out like that. But
or avoiding all spoilers, because I think we all know which way this match is probably going to go. But it is weird, like you say, considering where they once were. And I realise it was, you know, maybe a different time. Young Bucks, obviously, holding them FTR. Omega and Paige is another obvious example, but it is wild to think that a month or two ago, you and I were sat here pitching that these tag titles headline the pay-per-view in a couple of weeks.
Oh, Christ almighty, I know. We didn't know the status of CM Punk. We did not know the status of Kenny Omega. We just thought, right, amid this injury crisis, you've got an absolute mega match prospect for virtually every single belt in North America and Japan, but in North America, not governed by Triple H or Vince McMahon, yeah, as it probably was then. Yeah, so much has changed. It's radical. But yeah, they've got a tendency to do this with the tag team titles, and I'm not a big fan of it. Their importance or lack thereof is usually dictated by who holds them, and it just feels like Keith Lee's a big star with a big fan base who's kind of universally beloved. So let's just stick him on Rampage. It's just nowhere near the heights of 2020 when that tag division was at its absolute peak. Like, the actual roster itself wasn't as, like, loaded as it is now, but it just feels like they've got a great tag team division. No, a roster without a division. But yeah, this should be fun. Lest we forget, Keith Lee wowed everyone with an all-time great AEW debut by yeeting Isaiah Cassidy across the ring. It was spectacular. I expect that spot not to be repeated, but to be tweaked in an even better way. Perhaps he could just launch him over the top ropes and have Mark Quinn catch him or something like that. Maybe he could yeet Quinn this time, or maybe he can do a double yeet, a consecutive yeet or something like that. No, this should be really fun. Swerve Scott and the two members of Private Party can work like a really nice match around Keith Lee, who can then come in and just start yeeting people left, right, and centre. This should be absolutely fun / fine. It's the same deal with Rampage when it's taped. Usually when something awesome happens, you know about it.
Yeah.
Not always the case, so I might be pleasantly surprised. But the thing about Rampage as a show, it's that it's 3 or 4 incredibly predictable matches, and they've stopped really going all out to give you incredible matches that are predictable but so good, or reported from people in the arena to be so good that you don't really care, that you kind of can guess the result. 4 predictable matches, minimal story development. Look, it's no wonder it's getting killed in the ratings. I absolutely adore AEW at its peak. On a Thursday, the best Thursdays, I think about little else. We record incredibly long podcasts. We basically repeat the takes we make in those podcasts across the desks. We're all such mark nerds who are hyped about it. It is, in my opinion, over this 3 years, the most fun I've ever had watching wrestling. Mm-hmm. And across its range, it's the best I've ever seen from wrestling. And yet Rampage, I could just easily miss it.
Yeah,
I can understand the ratings. Like, you know, there's certain Dynamites where they're incredible, but the prospect of those Dynamite shows was incredible. Like Moxley Jericho for the title, or, you know, even Mox Punk in Chicago, which didn't do that great a number, to be honest. You sit there on an evening, just casually going through Twitter, and you go, oh, look, the ratings just dropped, and you think, what? Because it's usually quite static, or even from last week, and you're thinking, what is wrong with you? I understand why certain fans don't gravitate towards AEW, because I love a top star versus really good wrestler who's probably going to lose match. But ultimately, WWE offers, and it's a con, because half of these matches don't have finishes, but they do offer matches between guys they position frequently as big stars. So I can understand why certain Dynamites don't get a big rating, because it's just a different, patient, real slow burn model. But there's certain Dynamites where I'm thinking, what? That's the rating? Are you joking? With Rampage, I can 1,000,000% understand why those ratings are piss poor. And I know that might feel like a Disco Inferno, Jim Cornette, Vince Russo take, right? Because if you look at the wider state of the TV industry, which has had a horrific year across the board in 2022, apart from WWE, which is somehow flying, like, it's still top 5 in its time slot. It's still a bad time slot. There are equivalent shows on Saturdays instead of Fridays where it's piss week even more so than Rampage. But if you look at from where it was to where it is now, I don't have that incredulous, because I've got an excuse to drop my new thing. There's I'm sorry. So I'm excited to preview the rest of this bloody show.
Yeah, just a perfect example, to reiterate what you said there. This morning, we started recording this on Thursday, I woke up and I was so... And I know people complain about when we do this, and I try not to do this, I promise, whenever I do labeling of the podcast to spoil it for people, because I know people get upset by it. But and I wake up early hours of Thursday morning to watch last night's Dynamite, as it was. I literally have this weird thing where I sort of I open my phone without really looking at it, because I'm worried there's going to be Twitter's going to have sent to me, you know, you saying, oh my God, I can't believe X has come back, or someone sending us a question saying, oh, what do you reckon about this? Rampage, I'm just like, oh, I'd go about my day on Saturday and like, oh, what did they do for ups and downs? Oh, I guess that happened on Rampage then.
Yeah.
Like, it just passes me by sometimes.
It has fallen off, to use
the
vernacular of people far younger than me.
And you know me, I'm a sadist. So the one spot I'd like to see in this tag title match is, I agree, it's diminished returns, as you often say. You don't need to do Isaiah Cassidy getting yeeted again by Keith Lee. I like the idea of Mark Quinn getting yeeted, maybe out of the ring, but regardless, Isaiah Cassidy, not necessarily laughing at his friend, partner, but more sort of like, whew, dodged a bullet there, no Keith Lee yeet for me. And yeah, he just gets pounced
out of the ring, into
the crowd or somewhere, just even further than the yeet, if humanly possible.
See, that's an awesome prospect, but it's not something you're going to set your alarm to watch,
exactly.
Is it? Like, you know, next week, Mox versus goddamn Punk, everyone looked at the match graphic and went, what? I'm going to read Twitter, vigilantly, on that Thursday UK time, 9 o'clock usually it drops, and if that doesn't go over at least 0.40... Mythical 1 million.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit there, Adam Wilborn, on my couch, 9 p.m. UK time, and go, huh? That's what I'm going to do.
Every time. Another title match we've got on tonight's Rampage is Hook's first FTW Championship defense against Zach Clayton. So you sure?
I'm not going to run into the ground, but that... You know what I'm thinking, don't you?
Yeah.
What am I thinking?
Eh?
Yeah? Like...
Zach Clayton, fiancé of JWoww, I believe, off of Jersey Shore, is that right?
Yeah, thoughts on JWoww?
Eh?
I honestly thought you were going to go, my God.
I'm just going to just double check.
Oh no, sorry.
Press the wrong button there. Sorry.
No, you didn't. You right, this match. It's one of those things where, like, you could go on YouTube, you could go, Zach Clayton, Derek, let's see what this fella's got, right? Can he get judo takedowned and choked out within 45 seconds? Oh, well, anyone can do that. Yeah. It's just it's a way to get Hook on telly, like, and it's a way to get, oh, this guy's got a kind of a minor in like internet celeb fame and a social media following. I think maybe some of those simps of his will watch our Rampage show.
Yeah,
it does nothing, not a thing for me. This.
Yeah, I don't know whether this is going to be used. I don't think it's going to be used to advance any Starks Hobbs stuff. So the best you can hope for, like you say, is a fairly straightforward squash. And
a good challenger coming out.
Yeah, and maybe Taz putting over his son a bit more. It is the most obvious squash match I've seen in quite some time.
Yeah. I just don't care. I just simply don't care. Mm. And like the end of last year, I was going absolutely ballistic about Hook. Mm. And even with this sort of subtle... reboot, if you like, or rehab. I'm still not really caring that much. But, you know, I'm sure you'll do something of substance soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact,
you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Speaking of next challenges, all we know about the Rampage is we hear from Claudio Castagnoli. I haven't really had a chance to talk to you about that excellent match with Konosuke Takeshita, of course, at Battle of the Belts.
Yeah.
How do you follow that?
I don't know. You don't. It was so good. It was so good because like they could have just had this ridiculous fireworks festival because they are the two men in wrestling with bodies that you think you have no right to do these ridiculous things with those bodies. It is unbelievable. It's a spectacle and a gut bone deep feeling. I watch these guys and just think, how on earth can you do this? And they did those, how on earth are you doing these things together? And yet it was so psychologically rich. It was so dramatic. It was such a great story that it was not just this superficial blockbuster. It was a superficial blockbuster with incredible narrative depth, an absolute note-perfect crowd psychology that got, what, three, four, like five standing ovations?
Something like that.
Ultimately, the number is immaterial because it got standing ovations out the ass. And you don't just do that by doing, like, really impressive stuff. It has to be perfect, spectacular. My mind has just been blown. I can only do a standing ovation for this. Standing ovations out the ass. And they thought Takeshita was winning that goddamn title.
Yeah.
And you know how the thing is, your rational mind, you know how Tony Khan books. He doesn't book, well, he did for the TNT title earlier, but those are rule-proven exceptions and they don't count because they've just been quickly forgotten about. He books two types of title reigns. Very long reigns with frequent defenses. Not every week.
Mm-hmm.
Not every fortnight, but frequent defenses, and they go on for months to establish the fact that winning titles is a hard accomplishment because they are prestigious and they matter. Or, in the case of FTR and Mox, there's a short title reign where it is like a speed run for prestige and credibility,
yeah,
where FTR and or Mox won every single week. You know that he was not going to switch that title. You just kind of knew. And yet, because the match was such a wonderful exercise in crowd psychology, which is basically crowd manipulation, the success of which is measured by volume, that they did a fantastic job of making you think the switch is going to happen. How do you follow that? It's kind of process of elimination at this point. I expect him to hint towards a challenger or a challenger to come out or a challenger to respond in a pre-tape later on that night. And it's got a process of elimination. Who's preoccupied at present, who has a firm or fairly straight, a firm direction or a clear run towards the all-out card, and who hasn't? And I should have researched this because I've got no idea.
Well, I was just thinking then, because I was thinking back of like Bandido, for example, who challenged Gresham, like the interim. They did two champions thing at the Supercard of Honor in April. And I was just looking, I was thinking, right, we got Gresham, obviously.
Roosh won at Supercard.
You got that. And then I was like, do you do Brian Cage? What's he up to?
Oh, I know what he's up to. He's bitching about not getting pushed on Twitter again.
There you go, that's what I'm thinking.
I hate any storyline where it's like, I'm being used incorrectly by this promotion because it just instantly casts the promotion, keyword promotion, as bad/heel. Maybe not in the case of Brian Cage. Give Brian Cage 15 minutes to show his yap.
And then you say, like, you know, you can, I don't know if this still even bother him with this whole Tully Blanchard Enterprises thing, but
no, he's gone.
But yeah, but you can argue, right, well, we had this big thing set up and you beating Jonathan Gresham effectively. They can work it, so it's like, and then everything fell apart because that happened, because we lost our figurehead and then Tully and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, just to say, you know, I used to be in a stable with this guy. He's a big bad Can Claudio do the moves that he can do to all the other people? Look at the size of Brian Cage. It's an intriguing comp.
It's going to be like a struggle there to watch and to execute the moves. Now, Brian Cage is good for what he is. It's just, when you got Takeshita and Claudio filling that role of, oh my God, look at the moves these people have no right to be doing. Mm-hmm. And they are actually so good at it or so naturally charismatic where Cage just isn't. It just feels like Cage is a once futuristic performer who's now a relic. Like, it's the wrestling industry has passed him by. So I don't actually know. I'll take Bandido Wagnet or Roosh because he won at Supercard.
Yeah. Athena versus Penelope Ford advertised for tonight's Rampage as well. Athena looks set to be...
Jay Briscoe. Actually, no, because it's an AEW segment and the Briscoes aren't going to be on it because of their past. Yeah, move on.
Athena seemingly being set up as one of the biggest threats to Jade Cargill's title reign and streak, I should say.
You know what? For all my bitching, this is actually an interesting pairing because you've got a wrestler coming back from injury who they have liked off and on against someone who they're quite clearly pushing for a match with Jade Cargill. So it's still probably not unpredictable because Athena's more likely than not going to win. But at least it's better than he is a star act versus someone who's been on Dark a few times.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's a little bit better than the traditional Tony Khan women's match fair. And, you know, it should be a decent match, I think, because I think Penelope Fawn's underrated. And Athena, well, I don't know where she's at now. She's shown glimpses in AEW so far. Nothing close to something like Ember Moon versus Asuka, but, you know, she got a lot of mileage out of her interactions with Jade Cargill, which a lot of people can't actually do. So there is something there. Yeah, I think it's going to be not numbingly predictable and maybe an over-delivery of a match based on expectations, which are low because, you know, Penelope Ford is super, super promising, but she's never been allowed to realize that promise. But she often... or more often than not, in fact, delivers in the spot. So, yeah, I've got high hopes for this.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. I think, obviously, Athena wins. It'd be interesting how they handle it now, obviously, with Chris Statlander being out in terms of her not having a mate in a corner, potentially, for, you know, they've got the bad old baddie section. I don't know whether they'll get involved here, but going forward, it's going to be intriguing. And like you say, it seems a relatively obvious match to Hoy on the all-out card that people would buy is... oh, it's not just another straightforward Jay Cargill title events like...
who's it she faces? Anna Jay and Conti now Mello. Mm. I think those are the two pay-per-view opponents she's had this year at Revolution and Double or Nothing. And neither match was great. And the prospect of a switch just wasn't there. But Athena being new and a star on NXT before at least adds some drama to that.
Finally, we've got another match in the Trios
it's
tournament.
It's like preview and friggin' velocity, this.
Another match in the Trios tournament. Best Friends, Trust Busters. Thank you.
I get it wrong all the time as well, usually.
What's going on with them? So
don't care.
Sonny Kiss has joined. Ari Daivari's got a trust fund now. They've got the former Heartland, now Parker Boudreaux. No word is actually who's representing the Trust Busters in this. One would assume Sonny, Parker, and Ari, but they've got Slim J.
It's Slim J. He was on the graphic, was he not?
Oh, there we go.
It's not the original three. The original three. Jesus Christ. Bullet Club, bloody OGs. Trust Busters, OGs. Fucking hell. Look, you know what pisses me off about the Trust Busters as well? Is that not only is it a waste of my time, not only would I not do this, but they are doing effectively two versions of the friggin' Trust Busters. My understanding, from how little I've been asked to actually watch the development and formation of the stable, is that Ari Daivari has said that the whole purpose behind the Trust Busters is hidden treasure that he's clever enough to make money out of. Parker Boudreaux cast aside, even though he's quite clearly money. I'm here to show that he's money and give him a chance. Slim J, overlooked, despite a really cult rave-received indie run. He should be on television. He should have been on television years ago. Sonny Kiss, incredibly promising performer, overlooked by AEW as an organization. I'm here. I myself have been overlooked as well. We're all being overlooked and we're all losers who should be winners. Isn't Malcolm Bivens essentially doing the exact same thing? Isn't Lee Moriarty, like, lost more than he's won, and maybe he's been guided incorrectly. Hasn't Ethan Page
been example,
complaining
yeah.
about... You know what? Ethan Page, since day one of that company, literally losing the Face of the Revolution ladder match, and Scorpio Sky was being underused as well. Their whole bit was, we're two underused guys coming together to take what's ours. Ethan Page is now, oh, an underlooked guy who's taken... Piss off. Spent his entire character. And I know he's being booked like this, so it's a stupid idea. But between Moriarty, Ethan Page, and the Gun Club, who are losers, it's basically putting four losers together, revamping the losers with a new direction where you think, all right, well, if it's a new direction, I'll invest in it. The Trustbusters and whatever the name of Bivens Hathaway stable, it's exactly the same premise.
Mm.
We're getting two Trustbusters. I don't need one Trustbusters. It's a weird part of the tournament. Get it over with. Have the best friends win. I expect at this point that because Trustbusters discourse is a little bit like everyone's is basically looking at the Trustbusters and thinking, huh? Because this, why waste time? Why waste time? You've built. Begin Lash Legend in a minute and building her. It's like, don't book the people you've got.
It does feel like whoever wins this, whether it's Best Friends or Trustbusters, they're not making it past the semis because in their bracket, you've got the Dark Order. I sense are probably going to lose to eventual finalists.
Yeah.
The House of Bleg.
Yeah. So it's kind of a redundant one because, as you said, these are the losers. This is the wooden spoon. Like the sixth place playoff.
Yeah.
But yeah, because everyone, apart from the odd contrarian, because everyone's just going, what? The Trustbusters, I think if they'd won on a taped show, that there'd be capital D discourse of Jesus Christ. You see, what TK's lost his mind even more than he already has. He's bloody put the Trustbusters in the semi. He's put Parker Boot. Like, imagine this cursed sentence. Like, you know, the Monkey's Paw wish. Mm-hmm. You know, the Simpsons gag about, like, that's good. That's bad.
Yeah.
AEW are going to introduce a trios title. That's good. They're going to do a trios title tournament with Will Ospreay, Phoenix, and Kenny Omega, and Nick Jackson, and Malachi Black, and Brody King. That's good. Parker Boudreaux's in the semifinals. What? So the best friends are going to win, and, you know, it might be fine.
I can't say anything else because I was just looking at the brackets, and on Wikipedia, they've already been updated, so I know who wins this match. So there we go. Let us know your thoughts ahead of me at Rampage tonight on Twitter, at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, they can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
And if you're thinking, oh, bloody hell, four-day weekend for the boys, how am I going to fill this AEW-shaped hole? Normally on Monday, we would review Rampage. We're not going to be doing that because we're going to be putting our feet up, probably.
Well, I'm not.
Well, yeah, granted.
I'm parenting.
But you've got big AEW, everyone's got that AEW hole inside of them that needs filling, and it's not going to be filled by the AEW Rampage review on Monday. You know what could fill it?
Becoming All Elite, The Rise of AEW, my book, 120,000 impassioned, insightful words, all about the formation of AEW and its early history, available now at Amazon. Once again, Becoming All Elite, The Rise of AEW. Type it in Amazon. Buy it, read it, love it, then thank me.
Adam Wilborn on Twitter for me, at WhatCultureWWE for all of us. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from. For daily wrestling podcasts, you can hear the preview for SmackDown right now with myself and Michael Hanford. But for now, this has been the MPA Baby Preview. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.